Thank you, Shane, for that reading. As we'll have occasion to turn back to it in a few minutes, we certainly are welcome that we welcome our visitors and appreciate that you're with us tonight. We hope that your time spent with us will be helpful to you in consideration of God's will for your life. We invite you to the Bible and read together with us, convinced that we are reading not the words of men, but the Word of God. And that God Almighty, the one who made the heavens and the earth, and just as David in his prayer said that He alone is God, there is none like Him, there are no works like His works, that we turn our hearts heavenward, and that we praise His wonderful name and His great power, and the great love that He's shown us in so many ways, but especially in His Son Jesus Christ, to redeem us, our sinners, enemies, and yet through the death of His Son to provide us redemption freedom from our sin, forgiveness, and the sure hope of heaven as we live by faith, as we trust in Jesus. So sweet it is to trust in Him when trust in anything else is insufficient, it's lacking. So we can trust in Jesus and know that with His hand in ours and ours in His, that we have the assurance of His blessings, of His Word. Even as the psalmist David said in that very reading, "Teach me Your way, O Lord, I will walk in Your truth." So we open God's Word tonight and consider some things about truth, and particularly about why Christians attend all the assemblies of the local church. Our lesson is not new. It's not unique. It's not something that we just thought up new, and this will be the first time any of us have heard a lesson like this. Because we understand and know that God's truth is not new. It's been revealed and it's available to us in His Word, and that the things that we say here tonight about assembling together to worship God is not the first time. Most of us have heard it. But let us always approach God's Word as if it were the first time we were hearing it, to again be reminded of its significance in our lives. Instead of just kind of half-hearing, let us open our whole ear, let us open our whole heart, and let us give careful attention to why it is that Christians attend all the assemblies of the local church. I'm convinced that one basic reason is, just as in the psalm, we are told, David said, "I praise You with all my heart. I will glorify Your name forever, for great is Your mercy toward me." It is because of God's great mercy toward us, the grace that He gives us in His Son, that compels us today as Christians to glorify Him with all of our hearts as our Lord and our God. In the New Testament, we read about Christians and we read about the disciples of Jesus and the importance of worship, and that Christians are eager to worship God. Jesus said in John 4, "The time is coming, now is, that God will seek true worshipers to worship Him." God desires that men and women worship Him, but notice carefully that Jesus said that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is not just wanting anybody to worship Him however they please, however they choose, and as long as they're giving Him something, that'll be okay with God. That's not what Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ said that true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. These are the ones the Father is seeking to worship Him. It's of this nature that He is seeking worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. So said Jesus. So, as we reflect upon coming together, gathering ourselves together to worship, as we see that our goal and our intent is to worship God in spirit and in truth, and to know that that's what God is seeking, and that that is what God will receive from us if we are in fact worshiping Him in spirit and truth. In Acts 20, in verse 7, on the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread in the city of Troas. So again, we see the Christians engaging together, assembling together. In 1 Corinthians 14 and 26, the apostle would write, "When therefore you come together." Whenever you come together, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. The early Christians were coming together, and that for the edification of every member. So let us consider one another to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:24-25. Again, to invoke one another, to stir one another up, because we take time to think about each other. As we note in that passage, and will throughout this lesson, the passage says that part of our coming together, assembling ourselves together, is because we're thinking about each other. We're thinking about others. And as we assemble together to give honor and praise and glory to God. In Acts 2, verse 42, the new Christians continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. They continued steadfastly in their spiritual growth and development and their spiritual service, their fellowship together, their communion with God, undoubtedly in worship as they are breaking bread, as the Lord's Supper, as they're praying together. They are continuing steadfastly, then they show an eagerness to worship God. In Acts 2:46, once more it says that they were daily in the temple. Acts 2:46, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. So they're daily continuing, gathering daily with one accord in unity in the temple. Now they're not gathering in the temple to offer animal sacrifices. They're gathering in the temple to hear the apostolic doctrine. They're gathering in the temple as a place that would accommodate this large crowd, over about 3,000 souls, to hear the gospel of Christ preached, to pray together, to unite in worship together. In chapter 5, and verse 42 of the apostles, it says that daily they were in the temple. And in every house they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. So at the temple they're preaching that Jesus is the Christ. So there were daily assemblies of the early Christians gathering together to learn and to worship their God. They were eager to praise and honor and glorify Him. And so the warning, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. That is, do not leave behind or abandon. Continue to value and to participate in the gathering together of yourselves rather than abandon it or leave it behind and fail to see what benefits and opportunities it gives us. Clearly, some of the Christians had developed a manner or habit of forsaking the assembling of the saints. They develop a habit of not making that priority in their life, not considering one another to stir up unto love and good works, and so they begin leaving those gatherings behind. And the inspired writer says, don't do that. He warns us not to forsake, not to abandon, not to leave behind those gatherings. Perhaps some today have forgotten why it is Christians assemble, why we attend all the assemblies of the local church. And perhaps over time we begin to develop a manner of leaving behind or abandoning our gathering together, so that it becomes something less than what it ought to be, an eager opportunity for God's people together to consider one another as we give homage to God, as we praise and glorify Him for His mercy, to at the same time then also provide the opportunities of encouragement and exhortation and edification of one another. So we see that while some were willfully choosing not to be present, the warning was given, because really when that happens, it's a symptom of deeper problems. When it becomes easy for us not to assemble ourselves together, it's indicative that we've got deeper problems. We've got a problem of not recognizing Almighty God, of not honoring Him in our heart, and not seizing the opportunity to praise Him and to worship Him. There's a deep spiritual problem when God's people abandon worshiping Him. And that's the warning that we're given. to revive us again, or to renew our faith, or to reestablish, reassert, reaffirm, and strengthen our understanding of why it is that we attend all the assemblies of the local church. Why assemble to worship? Why must I attend all of the worship assemblies? I'd like to answer that from this perspective. Why must I attend any of the worship services in the local church? Because when I answer why I must attend any of the worship services of the local church, then I've answered why I must attend all of them. Same reason. So if one says, I don't need to attend all, then I would ask, well, why do you need to attend any? Why do you need to assemble yourselves together and not forsake the assembling of yourselves together? Why is it that we assemble to worship? Well, because God deserves it. God deserves our worship. In Psalm 86, let's go back there and note the reason stated there by David. Not that he is sustained by our worship, he sustains us. But David, in recognizing the Almighty, says there is no God but you. The gods of men are no gods at all. And so, you and you alone, O Lord, are the ruler among the gods that men make. There are no works like your works. So because of who He is and because of what He has done, all the nations whom you've made shall come and worship before you. This is why the nations gather and fall before the Almighty, because of who He is and what He's accomplished. He has made us. He has created us and He sustains us. And so we praise and honor and give homage to Him. The nations do that, David says. They'll glorify your name, but not only the nations, but the people of God. And the contract is often made of the nations and then God's people. You are great and do wondrous things. You alone are God. So God is God of the nations. And He calls the nations to worship Him. Romans 1, 20 and 21. There's reason and evidence of why God ought to be worshipped. We'll come back to that passage later. It is because God is great. Because God has done wondrous things. That's why we worship Him and come together as He's instructed us, assemble to worship. Because He deserves it. Because of who He is. Because of what He has done. And because of the truth that He teaches us. And because we seek to reverence Him. Verse 11. Teach me to walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. That's an interesting idea. It's the thought of uniting my heart. In other words, to not have a divided heart. To not have partly over here and, you know, partly with God and partly with the world and partly with sin and selfishness. No, he says, unite my heart, God. Teach me your ways to walk in your truth. Give me a united heart. Give me a solid, one, single-minded determination to walk in truth and to praise you. You see, with all my heart. Because of your mercy. You've not left me. You see, you have delivered my soul from the depths of Sheol, of the grave. Because God deserves it because of what He's done for us. Before we get to the next point. Because He's given us mercy and grace in His Son. He's delivered our soul from death. He deserves to be praised, honored, worshipped. Well, of course we assemble because God has commanded it. You see, our obedient faith grows out of a reverence and respect for God because of who He is, what He has done, and because of the responsibility we have because we've chosen to put our faith in Him, to consider one another, to love and good works. I want you to turn with me, please, to Malachi 1, verses 6 through 8. You see, in assembling ourselves together to worship, we must remember always to give God the respectful obedience of worship that He is due. In Malachi 1, we hear God's rebuke of Israel. He says, a son honors his father. and a servant his master. If then I am the Father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts, to you priests who despise my name. So the priests of Israel were despising the name of God. And they said, well, in what way have we despised your name? Don't we offer sacrifices? Aren't we your priests? He said, you offer defiled food on my altar. But you say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he be acceptable? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts? You bring to me what's blind, what's lame. You don't bring me the offerings that I have commanded of you. And then you wonder why I don't accept your offerings, your worship. You wouldn't give this to your governor. You're giving me the defiled things, and then you say, well, how have we defiled? They were so disregarding God and disrespecting Him that they were disobedient in the offerings they were offering Him. And God says, I don't deserve it. I'm not going to accept it. You're not showing reverence and respect to me. They were sinning against God. Now, you see, we understand, we know that to violate God's will is sin. 1 John 3 and verse 4. Transgression of God's law is sin. Well, God's will is that we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Hebrews 10:25. In Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So, if I forsake the assembling of ourselves together, what have I done? I sinned. I have not given God honor. I have violated His will for me. God wants worship from me, His child. He is my Father. He is the Master. He deserves it. He is the one who's shown me mercy. And now I bear responsibility before Him to give Him the honor He is due. Give Him the worship that should attend my thankfulness to Him. Worship is an expression, among other things, of the thankful heart that we have toward God for the blessing of redemption that He has given us in His Son. A recognition, as David said, I'll praise You and glorify Your name forevermore. You have delivered my soul from the grave. You have shown me mercy. And so I will praise You. I will worship You. You see, it's respectful obedience. If we fail to do what we know is right, if we choose to leave aside our assembling together, we sin against God. And again, I say, well, I don't need to attend all the worship services. Why do you need to attend any of them? Don't you need to attend any of them because God deserves the worship? And if not one, then why not all? Are there some of the assemblies that we don't have to give God praise and honor and worship? No. You see, He deserves that respect and obedience when we assemble ourselves together. When the local church agrees together to assemble together to give God worship, this is our opportunity, because God deserves our worship, to give Him that very praise and glory that is due His name, rather than sin against Him by leaving it aside. Now, again, why must I attend any of the worship services? Well, if I attend any of them, I need to attend all of them, because all of them give me opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth. To worship Him in spirit and in truth, with the right heart and in the right manner. You see, God is seeking true worshipers. Man doesn't decide what worship he will give God. God decides for us and tells us what worship He will accept, and calls upon us in humble reverence to give Him the homage that is due His name. And so, in John 4, we already noted that very verse. You see, God's people assemble with happy expectation to praise Him and to worship Him. If our heart, brethren, has developed an attitude of complacency, of neglect, of disregarding, assembling to worship God, then we need to address the real spiritual problem. The spiritual problem of a lack of thankfulness in our heart toward God, a lack of recognition of who God is and what God has done and how He has blessed us, that deserves our whole hearts, our united heart, oneness of heart in honoring and praising and worship Him. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up unto the house of the Lord. This song of ascent, as Israel would climb the mountain, climb Mount Zion to the place where God was worshipped. Well, giving us a symbol of gathering in the anticipation and the joy of worshiping God. That should be our heart today. We assemble for the very reason of having fellowship together in Christ and fellowship with God in Christ when we worship. You see, when we eat the Lord's Supper, it's a communion of each worshiper with God. 1 Corinthians, we don't have chapter 10 on the chart. However, he says the cup of blessing, verse 16 of chapter 10 of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion or fellowship or sharing of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? So in the eating of the Lord's Supper, there is communion of a disciple with God. Again, in chapter 11 and verse 20, when therefore you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. It should have been, but they were corrupting it, and so he's having to address the problem. So in truth, when they came together, it was to eat the Lord's Supper. They were supposed to be eating the supper in memory and proclamation of the Lord's death. It's fellowship with Christ. You see, spirit worship and spirit in truth is that we teach and admonish one another in song. God has ordained singing as an expression of a heart of faith, making melody in our heart to the Lord, but also teaching and admonishing one another when we do it. As we've sung that tonight, as we've sung about being pure in heart, O God, as we sang this morning, I know whom I believe, the wonderful love of Jesus, we sang of this morning. See, of how great Thou art. All of these are expressions of our heart, Godward, in praise and worship and in teaching and admonishing each other. We must do more than voice the words and our heart far from God. Or God will say to us, like He said to ancient Israel in Malachi 1, you rob me. You are robbing me of the worship that I am due as your Father and as your Master. Prayer. As we share in prayer to our Heavenly Father, we are participating in worship that's in spirit and in truth, just as the early disciples did. Do you remember the acronym, ACTS? Let us pray with adoration and with confession and with thanksgiving and with supplication. Recognizing God, honoring God, prayer being an expression of worship unto God as we communicate unto our Father, to our Father, with holy hands, lifting up holy hands in prayer. When we give, it's an expression of our thanksgiving and thankful worship unto God, because God has prospered us. And so on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. They were, on this occasion, collecting for needy saints, verse 1. An order had been given to the churches of Galatia. So you must do also. He said on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. In other words, an orderly gathering of the funds so that this work can be attended to. In our giving, there's an expression of a recognition that God is the giver, and as we have been prospered, we give so that His work can be accomplished and continue And it's an expression of worship
unto God. Thanksgiving unto Him. We feed on God's Word when we assemble together. Why should I attend any of the worship services? Well, should you, or do you feed on the Word of God?
Why should I attend all? Well, why should you attend any? Well, to see, hear God's Word. To learn God's will. Look at Acts 11:26 in the church at Antioch. The brethren, it says there, Paul and Barnabas, for a whole year, they assembled with the church and taught a great many people. So when they assembled together and were teaching the people.
The people were feeding on the Word of God. So why must I attend any of the worship services? Well, again, why should I attend all? Or why should I attend any? Why come together and attend the worship services?
To learn from God. To feed on the Word of God. Not to say, well, I've already heard that and I don't have to pay but half attention. Every time we open the Word of God and meditate upon it and hear God's Word to us, we learn something.
Amen.
We learn something.
And so to ask, well, why do I have to attend all? We need to again remind ourselves why we attend any of them.
Because of the responsibilities before God to honor Him and to worship in spirit and in truth. But also to receive and give edification. God is deserving of our worship, and as we worship Him, we are strengthened and we help strengthen each other. We help build one another up in the faith. In 1 Corinthians 14:26, how is it then, brethren? We read this a minute ago. Whenever you come together, when you assemble yourselves together, you gather together. Each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Now, he's talking here about the miraculous gifts. That's been his context. And they all wanted to participate in using the miraculous gifts. But he says, remember, let all things be done for edification. When you come together, you have a purpose of building up, not tearing down. So use those gifts to edify, to build up in faith. Verse 12, look, he said, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Not for yourself, not to extol yourself, not to honor yourself, not to elevate yourself, but to edify the church, to build up the church.
We come together to do that very thing. It is God, Christ Himself, who gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Remember the teachers in Acts 11 in Antioch? They were assembling with the church. So we assemble with the church for the
building up of the body of Christ. He gave these gifts to men, what? Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ.
So we assemble. Why must I attend all? Well, why must I attend any? Because I need to be built up. Because you need to be built up. I need to help build you up, and you need to help build me up. That's why we assemble, to worship, to influence each other, consider one another, to provoke unto love and good works,
now consider one another. What do you do when you consider something? Think about it. You give time and attention to it. When we assemble ourselves together, we ought to be remembering to think about each other. To think about, how can I provide influence and encouragement to others? To stir up. How? Well, one way is by singing. Sing with your whole heart. I don't care if you're off key 3 steps. Sing with your heart. Don't sit there and not sing. How are you edifying me? How are you helping me
when you don't sing? And how are you being helped? How are you praising God when you don't sing? You're not, are you? All others can sing. I can't. That's not the point. I can't sing. I can't hope. No. That's not what God says.
God says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Speak out.
Teach me something. I need to learn. I need to grow. I need to be admonished. I need to be warned. I need to be reminded to have a pure heart. As we sung a while ago,
See? We need to exhort one another, influence each other, and pray too. We need to work to offer God the prayers of our hearts. Realize that when we're leading people in prayer, it's a marvelous opportunity and blessing. And everyone needs to be participating. We can't say the amen if we haven't, with our hearts, listened and joined in a sense, to what's said. So be careful and understand that we are each to be praying
and we are led in prayer. We receive the invitation as we honor God. We're also being influenced by each other. And so with the teaching of the Word of God.
And so as we eat the Lord's Supper, and so as we give,
we have these opportunities of influence and building one another up, to exhort, to consider, and to encourage in the good work of worship. Zealous for good works, Titus 2:14 says, we're to be a people of God's own special people, zealous of good works. And so the question then is, if somebody says, why must I attend all the worship services of the local church? Let me ask you, is that person indicating an attitude of zeal for good works? When excuses are offered not to assemble with the saints? Again, why do I need to be at any of them? If I need to be at any of them to receive and give edification, then don't I need to be at all of them for the same reason? Amen. To grow by hearing the Word of God. To take the milk and meat of the Word and grow. To praise God and speak to each other in song. You see, to remember and proclaim the Lord's death and to give
with cheerful hearts so that God's work can thrive, can increase, as 2 Corinthians 9, 7-10 shows.
You see, these are among the reasons why we give.
And again, we say, will a man rob God? I think I mentioned this a minute ago, and actually I was referring to the point made here, back at Malachi. We didn't read it a minute ago. Malachi chapter 3 is actually the reference in verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? Here's God's answer. In tithes and offerings, you're cursed with a curse. Even you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, and that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not pour from you, or not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it. You see, during the times of Nehemiah, the people were not tithing as they should, and the priests who were supposed to be attending to the house of God for the benefit of the people in their worship to God had to go and work in the fields to sustain themselves, because the tithes God had arranged to sustain the priests so they could do service in the house of God at the temple. And because the people were robbing God of tithes and offerings, the very service of God's house was being neglected. We bear responsibility, you see.
Will we rob God in our giving? Will we rob God in remembering His death? Will we rob God by not praising Him in song or growing in His Word? Or, you know, all the aspects of our worship? Why assemble? Because God deserves our worship.
Because, you see, God has commanded us to worship Him. Because it is in, as we assemble together, God has designed worship in spirit and in truth
so that we can honor Him and also receive and give edification, building up ourselves.
So when we willfully refuse to assemble, when someone says, I don't want to attend all the worship services, and I don't really see a need to attend all of the worship services, because really we do the same thing all the time anyway, then we've got a problem in our hearts. We've got a problem in misunderstanding what and why we assemble and what worship is. See, I know some absences are unavoidable. Sometimes we get sick. And you know, obviously. Sometimes things are beyond our control. I understand that. What we're talking about is making excuses that crowd out worship from our lives. That we make a choice to let, perhaps it's the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, or the desire of other things entering in chokes the Word and it becomes unfruitful. You see, remember, like the seed that fell among the thorns?
Or like the man who had a great supper, he said, all things are ready, come to the feast. And then those that he invited began everyone to make excuse.
One man said, I bought some land, I have to go see it. Another said, I bought some oxen, I have to go test them. Another man said, I just got married, I cannot come. Excuses. They'd been invited. They knew the supper was coming. They didn't make preparation. How is it that it's so easy for us sometimes to make an excuse not to come to the assembly of the saints, to leave that behind? But we're not so easy or quick to do that on Monday morning when we have to go to work. You see? Why is that? What's wrong? There's an attitude problem wrong. There's a heart problem wrong that we need to correct. When it becomes easy for us to make an excuse not to assemble together to worship God, but that same excuse never would fly on Monday when we need to meet the job responsibilities, will we rob God? Will we deceive ourselves? Will we make excuses that amount to willfully choosing not to worship Him? So that's what it amounts to. When we make those kinds of excuses, we're willfully choosing not to worship the Lord. And in Romans 1, verses 21 and 22, the Word of God says, speaking of the Gentiles who God had set evidence before Himself and had revealed Himself to them, and He says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. See, they chose not to worship Him. They willfully chose to reject the evidence of His power and His deity. They willfully chose to reject and spurn what they knew about God. They did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Now here's what happens when we willfully choose not to worship the God of heaven and earth. Same thing happens today. It's because we are failing to be thankful to God. Think about it. Mark it down. When we choose willfully to leave behind, to forsake our assembling together, why are we doing that? Is it out of an expression of thanksgiving to God that we're making that decision? Oh no. I don't know anybody who says, I'm going to go worship today because I'm so thankful to God for all that He's done for me. I'm just not going to go worship Him. Really? No one thinks that way, do they? See, when we willfully choose not to worship God, what happens? They fail to be thankful. They did not thank Him. They were not thankful, Paul said. And when we willfully refuse to assemble, it's because one of the deeper problems is we don't have thankfulness in our heart toward God. And we need to get it back. We need to get it back. We become futile in our thinking. Futile thinking takes over. Vain reasoning. We begin to justify it to ourselves that it's okay not to be there at some of the assemblies of the saints. But what we're really doing is making an excuse for ourselves, willfully refusing just because we don't want to go. Because we've already forgotten to be thankful. And so now we rationalize it in our heart why it's okay, and for long that hardens us to a point that our heart becomes darkened, just like those in Romans 1:21. So now we're comfortable in that way of thinking and that lack of that unthankfulness, and we feel wise in our decision.
We profess to be wise,
but in fact we've become fools. Now that's what happened to the ancient Gentiles, and that still is what happens when we deliberately decide that we're not going to assemble with God's people as God wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth that He calls upon us to do and to be part of our lives. You see, when we willfully absent ourselves from worship service, when we willfully refuse, when we say, I don't want to attend all, and I don't need to attend all the worship services, we fail to honor God through His prescribed worship. God seeking true worshipers. And with that kind of an attitude, we've just shown ourselves not to be a true worshiper.
But how can we expect to go to heaven if we're not a true worshiper of God? How can we expect to be honoring God for His mercy?
And in fact, be the recipients of it when
we spurn the opportunities to honor Him. You see, we sin against God, don't we? When we willfully refuse. In Hebrews 10, He goes on to talk about, for if we sin willfully, after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there may be no more sacrifice for sin. When we willfully say, I know God deserves my worship. Oh, He's blessed me so wonderfully, but I don't need to attend all those worship services. That's just, 3 hours a week, that's just a little too much. Because really, when you add it all up, it probably is double that time. Getting ready, getting there, leaving, going back home. It just takes a lot of time, But see, God has said, of a truth I perceive, or the Apostle Peter said, of a truth I perceive, God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he who fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to him. Am I acceptable to God by willfully refusing to do the will of God? And ask that question is to answer it. Of course I'm not acceptable when I willfully refuse to obey God. I'm robbed of opportunities for my own growth. And I'm robbed of opportunities to help others grow. You see, when I willfully refuse to assemble with the saints, I have chosen convenience over conviction. Convenience over conviction.
In Acts 24:25. You remember that Paul preached to Felix and Drusilla about faith in Christ. And he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgments to come. Felix was terrified. He was afraid, and he said, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you.
And that's how we treat God a lot of times, unfortunately, to our demise. And we need to change that. To say, when it's convenient, I'll have conviction. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the moment of conviction. We choose convenience over conviction and we think we're justified in it. God is warning us, testifying to us, that we cannot approach our worship to Him that way, our service to Him as a disciple that way. We have to have conviction, not the convenience
that we seek for ourselves. Some make great sacrifices to attend worship services, and some stay away at the slightest inconvenience. Which one is us? Which is us? Great sacrifice or slightest inconvenience?
When our heart is given fully to God, you see, it's easy to answer that question, isn't it? But it becomes difficult when our heart's not fully given to God. You see, because we're not putting God first, am I? When I willfully refuse to assemble, to gather together to worship God, and to be encouraged and edified and built up and do the same for my brethren, I'm not seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I'm not denying myself and taking up my cross and following Him
as Jesus calls upon me to do. You see, the worship services of the local church are designed to honor God and to encourage Christians.
They're designed not by this church, they're designed by God. God's Word teaches us to do this, and that's why we do it. And these are the reasons, as we study tonight, to honor Him and to encourage one another. And so with reverence and devotion, we must continue to commit ourselves to not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is.
That's not the manner we want. We want the manner of assembling ourselves together to stir up love and good works, and all the more as we see the day approaching. You know, whether that day was the day of assembly, whether that day was the day of Jerusalem's destruction, or whether that day was the day of our final judgment, there was incentive in that day to do the right thing. And there's incentive for us to do the right thing, to consider one another, to stir up love and good works, and to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The incentive of worship, of honor and homage to God. The incentive that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, which He goes on in His text, in His context, to assure us. And so we have every reason
to attend all the assemblies of the local church, to give praise to God, to be strengthened ourselves, and to so serve God as we prepare ourselves for the day of meeting Him, that we might be received into His eternal home rather than face the God who is a consuming fire. If our heart is not fully given to attending all the worship services, I hope that this study of God's Word helps us to accomplish that and to help us keep that heart so that we never in our assemblies become complacent, disregarding, and unattached or separated in mind from what we are doing, why we are doing it, because God is worthy of our praise and He has been gracious to us. So as we sing now, the song has been selected, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Let us ponder. Will I be in the roll called up yonder? If I'm unwilling to be in the roll that's called from time to time here of God's people to gather together to assemble, how can I be in the roll that's called up yonder when my heart is not fully given to be in the roll of assembling together with brethren to honor and praise God? So if your heart's not where it ought to be, make that right with God now. Repent and confess your faith and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And He'll add you to His church. You'll be a Christian to live faithfully to Him with a heart and a life that corresponds to His truth, because you are His child now and He's deserving of the honor and homage that you give. All together we stand and sing. Won't you come?